Welcome back to the Book of Psalms. Psalm 26 challenges me. I wrestled with this one. It's a psalm of David, and it begins, "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered." Now, I have to admit, on first reading, David's words felt a little too perfect. A blameless life? Not faltered? Pardon my boldness here, but really? David? We know your sins, sir. So I wrestled over this one. And I have to say, I came away with a different perspective. So I'll share some of my thoughts, but I encourage you to do your own wrestling. And again, I suggest you read the psalm both before and after the guide. So let's dive in and look for David's heart here. Back in verse 1, "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered." Now, David's sins are on full display in the Bible, and he just confessed that his sins are many in Psalm 25. That's why it's great to have David writing Psalms. He can't fool anyone. But we also know his heart for God. He's a sinner, but he's also quite sincere in his pursuit of the Lord. So let's examine. Remember, for difficult verses, check content, context, and cross-references. First is content. What does the verse really say? Checking the Bible dictionary, the word vindicate here is simply judge me. A more literal translation says, judge me, for I have walked in integrity. The Hebrew for walk indicates how you live, but the translation blameless life makes it sound a bit extreme, like he's never sinned. So what does David mean by judge me? Is he demanding that God tell everyone he's perfect? I don't think so. Check the context. His next words are, I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Trusting God is not self-righteousness, it's reliance. Then in verse 2, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Three different ways David asks the Lord to test, try, examine. He wants God to search his heart and mind. He wants to hide nothing from the Lord. Self-righteousness doesn't do that. It hides a sinful heart behind religious ritual and false piety. David wants to be known. He wants his heart examined. Back in verse 3, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. There's that reliance again. Self-righteous is also self-reliant. But David relies on God. He isn't focused on his own goodness. He's got his mind set on the Lord's unfailing love and faithfulness. Notice that David calls on the Lord by name here, and his mind is on the character revealed in that great name, faithfulness, forgiveness, and unfailing love. Now, when we dealt with vindication previously, we made a clear distinction between David asking God to vindicate him regarding his entire life, as if he had never sinned, and asking God to vindicate him in a particular case, meaning that he didn't do this bad thing. And I think that's valid here, but I also think there's more to this. I believe that David is working on living his life in full integrity, and he's asking the Lord to check him on it. See, part of me challenges David's words. Hey, no one can claim a blameless life except Jesus. But then I sense a challenge back at me. Hasn't Jesus called me to live blameless? Even though I sinned in the past, didn't he save and forgive me so that I would walk in integrity now? And as I do my best and rely on God's faithfulness, shouldn't I ask him to examine my heart and tell me how I'm doing? And that's how I read this psalm. David is not bragging to anyone about his goodness. He can't. But he is calling on the Lord to guide him in goodness. And consider the larger context. Psalm 26 really doesn't work without 24 and 25. Psalm 24, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? The one with clean hands and pure heart, who trusts not in idols. David wants that. He longs to be that person. But he wasn't, not on his own. Yet he immediately lifted his attention. Who is the King of glory? Not David, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Then Psalm 25 begins with trust in the Lord. He asks God to show me, teach me, guide me in your ways, Lord. He hopes in God and asks the Lord to remember him according to the Lord's love and mercy, not by his own sins. David takes his stand on the Lord's character, good and upright, instructing sinners in his ways. Sinners like David. That's amazing. And that's David's hope in the Lord, in his integrity. He asked forgiveness and he's relying on God's faithfulness to grant it. And shouldn't we trust that God has forgiven us and now walk in integrity to the righteousness he gave us? David's trying to get it right now, and so should we. So in verse 4, I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. Notice that David's first concern is avoiding the hypocrites. Paul wrote the Corinthians to remind them not to associate with immoral people. But he later clarified that the real danger is hypocrites who claim to be Christian but live immorally. Back here, David is forgiven, trying to live with integrity, and he doesn't want bad company to corrupt good character. That's not holier-than-thou judgment, it's just protecting his own integrity. Verse 5, I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Now, there's another claim that seems impossible, doesn't it? I wash my hands in innocence? Who can claim that? Remember, it was the one with clean hands who can ascend God's holy mountain. And we all know that David had blood on his hands, and he was reminded of it often. And yet, that's what makes this truth so powerful. David prayed, "Take away all my sins." And look at him now. Now, the Lord did not take away David's responsibility towards those he hurt, and he doesn't for you either. In the covenant law, taking responsibility and making restitution was part of reconciling with God, but so was cleansing from sin. Look closely at verse 6. Where is David? He's about the Lord's altar. The sacrifice has been made, and David's hands are clean. For us, that altar is the cross. And he doesn't go telling everyone how good he is. No, he tells of all the Lord's wonderful deeds. David is in that glorious moment of revelation that the Lord offers to every believer, that moment that we know forgiveness. We confessed our sins, called on the Lord, and we're convinced that he is faithful and just to forgive. And David revels in it. It's amazing. He won't let the hypocrites drag him down. Forgiveness is too good to just hang out and let sin back in. Verse 8, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. A forgiven David just wants to hang out at God's house, to dwell where his glory dwells. Remember David's joy in Psalm 23. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But who can stand there? The one with clean hands and pure heart. And the Lord gave him that. He forgave, he sanctified, he justified and vindicated. The King of Glory did it. And David doesn't want to go back. He doesn't want to be like the sinners anymore. And he doesn't want their destiny. Verse 9. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. So David closes where he began, a blameless life. Again, it literally says, I walk with integrity. Notice David still knows that he needs mercy. That doesn't mean he just keeps sinning. Walking in integrity to God's forgiveness means that we stop sinning, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do it. We're different now. The old has gone, and the new has come. A new creation. Verse 12. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. That level ground means we don't have to keep slipping. We have foundation now. His name, His salvation, His resurrection. We stand now with confidence. We belong here with His people, and together we praise. So read Psalm 26 and join the congregation of the forgiven.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.